Moms, are you raising your kids to believe they can create the life of their dreams? Are you living your life that way as well? Living an awakened life means more than just talking about it. Join host Debbie Pokornik on Vibrant Powerful Moms as she shares practical tips, stories, and interviews with enlightened guests, all geared at helping you create and live an extraordinary life. It's time to stand firmly in your power and model the life you want for your kids to inherit. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you create a life you love at work, at home, and at play. I have kind of mixed feelings about being back recording shows today. On the one hand, it was absolutely fantastic to have the summer off so I could just enjoy visiting with my friends and family back in Manitoba, Canada. And on the other hand, I love doing interviews and developing shows to share with you. And so it feels really great to be back in the saddle talking with people about the things we can do to create and live extraordinary lives. So today I have a guest on the line with me, and this guest is not a woman, which is not unheard of on this show. I have had two other men in the 3 years that my show has been on the air, but as you can see, it certainly isn't the norm. So it feels kind of special to me because we're starting out fresh in the fall with a new program lineup, and we're shaking it up right off the start. Today, my guest is Robert Farrington, and he is here to talk about how to prepare yourself and your family financially for the future. Robert is the founder of thecollegeinvestor.com, and he's probably best known for helping people navigate student loan debt so they can start building wealth for the future. Now, I discovered talking to him personally that he is a dad. He has a six-year-old and a three-year-old. And I also found out that he has some pretty intriguing ideas about money and making sure you and your kids always have enough. And so he felt like a really nice fit for the show. And I'm really excited to hear what he has to share with us. Robert, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I am excited to be here and have this conversation with you. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Awesome. I think so too. So let's start by hearing a bit about your story, like how and why you started The College Investor. I understand you started in college. Why?
Yeah. So, I mean, I had always been passionate about money and earning more, and I'd been doing odd jobs since I was a teenager. And I just stumbled into blogging when I was wrapping up my last year of college. I thought that it would be so fun to share my random thoughts on money. And, you know, for good or for bad, that's how I got started. And I've learned a lot along the way. But what this website and my side hustles have enabled me to do was it allowed me to get out of student loan debt and start achieving my financial goals, all while finishing college and working full time. So that's how I got started. And I've learned a lot from there.
So can you give us just a few examples of some of the things that you've learned?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was that kid that was in middle school selling candy bars. I was selling stuff on eBay through college. And I really just wanted to share my thoughts. But then I encountered one battle, which was with student loans, right? So I graduated with $42,000 in student loans here.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, I know, right?
Yeah.
But I was able to pay him off in about 3.5 years. And I did that by working full time and by earning more money on the side. And, you know, my blog actually helped me a little bit along the later part of that journey by also earning a little money as well. And I really wanted to share that with people because it was empowering to be able to earn more, work full time, and achieve my financial goals of getting out of student loan debt. And I've continued to share those thoughts there and share my battles that I've had with my student loans all along.
Nice. Now, when we talked about this before, and even now, one of the feelings that I really got from you was how assertive you were. I mean, I think you mentioned to me last time about having to figure out ways to talk to people about, you know, how can I get forgiveness on this or whatever, but having to put yourself out there and somehow intuitively kind of knowing that you couldn't just go in with that attack mode, which is really common around money, right? We tend to be very...
Absolutely. So, you know, no one's going to care more about your money than you. And I did have an early struggle when it came to my student loans. My loan servicer had messed up my direct debit. And it was one of the early blog posts about student loans that really went viral. And I shared my story about how I, you know, had to call my loan servicer and follow up in writing and, you know, really just go through these motions of getting this fixed. And it was a struggle and it was a little scary. I didn't want to, you know, get dinged on my credit and things. And, you know, I was able to solve the problem, but I learned a lot along the way, especially with how these student loan companies operate and, you know, how you really have to take personal accountability around your student loans. But at the same time, you have to understand how it works. You have to educate yourself and you have to move in the right direction. And when you call your loan servicer, I know, you know, probably a good chunk of your audience has at least had to deal with some type of loan servicer or credit card company or something. I mean, you're calling a rep in a call center and they're just trying to do their job. And, you know, they don't necessarily know you. They're not your financial advisor. And so it's really important that you come to that conversation polite, but you also have educated yourself about the situation and know your options and know what you're asking for so that they can help you in the best possible way. And while you might be frustrated, you know, venting your frustration on a poor call center rep isn't going to get you as far as, you know, being knowledgeable and assertive through the conversation.
Nice. I think that is so critical for people to really take in, because when it comes to dealing with finances, I think there is so much emotion there, and it's so easy for us to get caught up in that emotion and then come out shooting. Right? I mean, we go in, and that's actually not the way I would normally say that, because unfortunately we've had situations like that arise. But my point being that it's easy for us to get aggressive and come from that place. And I love that you're modeling, you know, get clarity on what you need and then use your skills to put that out there without attacking that person on the other end of the line.
Absolutely. And I mean, the one thing I think a key takeaway for a lot of people, and it works for me, is I actually prefer to deal with a lot of things in writing. And I don't think we do a lot of that anymore. Like, we like to call, we like to do chat messaging maybe, but I find that doing things in writing goes a long way. So one, it lets you refine your message before you send that letter. But two, you could also track that letter. You can send it like certified mail. You can make sure they have it. So you also have that documentation. And, you know, given the fact that most people don't send things in writing anymore, I think it goes a lot farther to get what you want than it does with a phone call. Not to say that phone calls aren't valuable, but writing can also go a very long way.
Yes, I think that is a really wonderful tip. I use writing. I mean, this doesn't have to do with money only, for any situation where I feel emotional about it, because right. It allows me to collect my thoughts. It allows me to see if I'm being, you know, more attacking or, you know, what I'm doing, and sure. then reword it in a way that says, okay, hey, I get it. Like, you know, I want you to help me, and I have to come at it from that position rather than telling you that you suck.
Right.
So, nice. So in line with this, my first job was working at a bank.
Okay.
And so I was like 18 years old, new to the world of finance. And one of the first things they did was give me a credit card and overdraft protection.
Okay.
And that made me feel very grown up and very capable. And then within a few months, it had the absolute opposite effect, because I realized I was not grown up to have enough to have a credit card and overdraft, because I was living in that world where my bank account was in overdraft and I'd get paid and I would end up with like $100 because everything went to the overdraft. Mm. And then I'd have to pay my credit card, which was maxed out, and you know, make the small payments, the minimum payments. And I just couldn't get ahead. And I don't think that my story is unique.
Oh,
so
gosh, no.
I'm wondering, what advice do you have for people who feel like they're kind of trapped in that world of debt?
Yeah, I mean, it is such a struggle. And whether it's credit card debt or student loan debt or car loans or all of it combined, I mean, it can be hard. And my biggest advice is that you have to get organized to start with. Like, we can't even have that conversation about what to do next if we don't have a conversation of where do you stand now. And that means, you know, putting together a list of your income and also all your expenses, whether that's your rent, your cell phone bill, and your credit card payments, and list it all out, because getting that clarity allows you to decide what you're going to do next. Are you going to cut some expenses? You know, find a cheaper cell phone plan? Are you going to, you know, maybe find a roommate, save on rent? There's lots of options on the cutting side, but then, you know, you also can look at the earning more side. And is there ways that I could supplement my budget by getting a second job or taking advantage of the gig economy, which I actually is my story and where I prefer to spend some time. Not to say that I want to spend extravagantly, but I do want to be mindful of my spending while seeing if I can grow my income.
Nice. You know, I did get out of it, but partly because I worked for the bank. So they did a consolidating loan for me.
Sure.
And, you know, covered everything. And then I did really exactly what you're saying without realizing it. I sat down and I started going, okay, so what are my expenses and what are the ones I can cut? And I had moved away from home in that time as well. So I now had rent and groceries and all those things. And you quickly discover life is way more expensive.
You do. And, you know, but it's hard because I think when you're living in that moment too, the expenses just kind of come at you. And you're just like, well, this is what I have to do. This is what I have to do. But I think it's so important you spend maybe a 30 minutes to an hour to like actually like kind of recap, see where you've been, and then kind of see if you can move that needle a little bit in the next month and improve things.
Yes. And you know, I discovered, full disclosure here, but in Manitoba, the drinking age is 18. And I was spending an extra exorbitant amount of money, let's just say, on drinking out in bars and lounges and, you know, places where drinks are more expensive to begin with, but also probably putting a little more into the budget there than needed to happen.
Yeah. And it's okay. I mean, like, you learn lessons as you go. And like, we've all had circumstances, we've all done things that we're probably like, oh, I can't believe I spent that. But the important thing is like you know where you stand and you know how you can improve to make the things better going forward. Because,
yes,
you know, like we've all been young, we've all spent the silly amounts on things. Like, that's just part of life.
Yes. And then, you know, you might meet your partner and end up getting married or not, having kids. And now suddenly you find yourself in a position where you're still trying to dig yourself out of that hole from before. So let's talk about the income part, because I think that's an area that's so important. And I know you talk about side hustling, you've got all these great ideas. So let's move into that.
Yeah. I love side hustling. So, I mean, that was my story. I paid off my student loans in 3.5 years, like we kind of talked about earlier, by boosting my income. I did it on the blog. I was reselling things on eBay. First, I sold all my own stuff that I could get rid of. I had like old Super Nintendo and video games. But then I started going to garage sales and estate sales and buying stuff to resell. And I just love the empowerment that you get from, you know, creating extra income. And now there's all these apps and tools, and you have the ability to pretty much earn anytime, anywhere, from your computer, from your smartphone. You know, all these different options exist that didn't even exist 5 to 10 years ago. And so, you know, if you can just add a little bit to your budget, $100, $200 a month, that number could be game-changing for you. And then as you grow it, you know, you could only cut expenses so far. You know, you can only save so much on groceries. You still have to eat. You can only cut your rent or your mortgage so much. You still need a place to live. But right, the power to earn is pretty much limitless, you know, as you look out into what that number could potentially grow into. And I think that is just really fun to think about as well.
Absolutely. Now, I was on your website and I was playing around. I told you that, I mean, you can just get lost in that website and that there's so much great information in there. And one of the things I saw, I think it was like 53 ways to make more money. I think it was under your side hustle banner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that really stood out for me, I think, is because, yes, we have computers and we have phones. Not everybody does. Now, if they're listening to this show, they have access to something, right?
Yep.
So we know they have access, but maybe they're at a library or somewhere where they can use Wi-Fi for free and listen to it. So what amazed me was there was some other ones on there. Like, for example, I think one was collecting recycle stuff.
Yeah. Totally.
And finding the ones. Now, different places do reimburse you for different things. Like back in Canada, in Manitoba, we could take in beer empties and get money back. Here in Georgia, apparently not. Okay. I was a little disappointed in that one, I got to tell you. But, you know, so things like that, there's metal. You can get money for metal. But can you expand a little bit more or give a few more little side hustle ideas that might not involve, say, a computer?
Absolutely. I mean, well, let's talk about the original side hustle. You could always go get a second job. And people have been doing that for, you know, hundreds of years, is that you work your day job, get another job, or you work on weekends, or you assist with your friend that, like, you know, and this could be in any kind of thing, whether it's retail or anything like that. That's totally doable. There's like catering jobs or different things like that. You could use, you could shovel snow depending on where you're at. And they might not be fun jobs, but if you can supplement your income a little bit, it goes a very long way. You could be a pet sitter. You could help someone move. You could, you know, help them paint their house. Maybe there's a neighbor and it's like, it doesn't even have to necessarily be for money, but maybe bartering. Maybe there's a service or maybe that they could help you with your food budget. They'll give you some, you know, food and that you can paint for them. And I know that's common in a lot of areas as well. Like, so it doesn't necessarily have to be monetary, but if you can save in other ways, that's another less expense that you have to shell out of your own pocket.
Right. Now, it's interesting because as you were saying those things, I'm seeing it through the lens of a mom, right? Yeah. And a busy mom with little kids. Oh, and so, totally. You know, the cost of daycare or babysitting for you to go out and work somewhere, often it's not worth it. For some moms, it's not even worth it to go out and work in the first place because all their money is going to go to that. So I love that you threw in that whole barter idea with your neighbor because sometimes that can be a way that you can get out and do something else, right?
Yeah,
you can
totally barter
with them so that they can watch your kids while you go out and do something that makes a little bit of money.
Absolutely. And you know what? We all have seasons of life. So, you know, it is going to be a different story if you have young children, if you have elementary age children, if you have high school children, maybe you have an empty nester. Like, you know, there are definitely seasons of life and you're going to be able to do different things or, you know, alternative things in each one. And I think it's important to give yourself that grace and know that, like, you know, like I see these other moms doing this. Well, it's like you don't know their family situation. You don't know what they're able to do. And realize that in a year or two, your children might be at a different age when you're able to do different things as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you're homeschooling, the same is still true, even though your kids won't now be going off to school. But there's ways you can build some of the things that you're doing in for the kids, like the growth of the children as well.
Absolutely. Now, I'll tell you one of the fun ones that I've seen. And, you know, I've seen a lot of moms lately and dads, but like the gig economy has like the food delivery and the other delivery services. And I've encountered this a few times in the last couple months, but it's like the mom will drive and they'll have their child be the runner. And these are usually like 10, 12 year olds, but they'll be the ones that run up to the front door, drop off the food while mom sits in the car. And so they're tag teaming this in the afternoon. So they're probably, you know, the only time a kid will talk to you is probably in the car. So maybe you get that bonding time.
Yes.
And you're also earning a little bit of money and maybe you're showing your children that they're able to earn a little bit of money too. So I've seen that a few times in the last couple of months and I just love that.
Yes, that is. That's a great tip. Love it. So let's shift gears here because we are going to run out of time if I spend too much time there, but I love it. And I hope people will go to your site, to your website and get that handout of different side hustle ideas because there's a lot of great ideas there and we've just touched them, the tip of them.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's think about families that are in debt they want to do better for their kids. They want to raise kids that are financially conscious, and they want to help them whatever they decide to do, whether it be going to college or university or just even moving out before they're 30. there's always that hope.
Yeah.
And so how do they strike a balance between their own finances and helping their children?
Yeah, it's so tough, you know, because you want to set your children off to be better than what you had. And I think the biggest thing you can do is just early and often communication with your children about money. We don't have a lot of financial education in the United States. Your children are just going to see what you do, see how you handle things, and they're going to think about that and how they handle their money. And so the big one is that when it comes to that paying for college decision, it's really probably for a lot of families, the first major money milestone that your young child or, you know, high schooler at that point in time is going to have to think about. So be clear, be transparent, be honest about what you can afford. Parents, you don't need to pay for college these days. There's so many ways to pay for college. You don't think you have to go further in debt to fund this education. But on the flip side, you have to have those conversations with them early. You have to be transparent about money. You have to talk to them about what college spending looks like for you and your future and for them and their future. And it's not easy. I mean, we're just talking on a podcast here, and I know those family dynamics and that relationship is very challenging conversation to have, but you know, the more transparent you are with your finances, the easier it becomes to have those honest conversations about paying for college, what it looks like for mom and dad's or, you know, mom's financial situation. And then you can, you know, really have an open, honest conversation about it.
Very true. And you can even now say, okay, so do you want to go with me as we do the DoorDash thing?
Yeah, totally.
like you were just sharing, right? You run up and deliver the food and we half it and you put that towards your college fund.
Yeah. And you know, I just think that the conversation today is so dominated by, oh, you know, everyone has to go to college and you have to use student loans to go to college. And I think, you know, that's such a flawed conversation because there's so many ways to pay for college. You can go out and DoorDash and earn more money before you get to college. You can get scholarships. You can get grants. You can work. You know, your parents, mom's still probably working. There's a lot of ways to fund it. You can go to community college. You don't even have to go to college. There's a lot of options outside of college, whether it's the military, the trades, and just working. And so I think it's just being very open and honest about this and realizing that, you know, college is expensive. And, you know, the last thing you want is to go to college and then really have a poor financial future, because that's probably worse. So, you know, let's just think hard about this. Spend a little bit of a time. It's a big decision. It's an emotional decision. It's a financial decision. And so just having those clear conversations, it's okay to have them. It's okay to decide alternative courses. And I think at least it's becoming more mainstream to do other alternatives than it used to be in the past, which I think is a huge win.
Absolutely. I mean, just the jobs online alone, the things you can do set up online that your child might be able to do as well. So, yeah,
definitely.
I've always suggested for parents in Canada, or at least in Manitoba, I don't know that it's like this in every province, but lots of kids choose not to go to university. But those that do often are going simply because their parents expected of them and are willing to support them. And then they end up getting into an area they don't even really love. They don't even know really what they want to do yet. Their parents are paying the bill, so they're not working as hard as they would be if it was their own money, you know. And I know that. I live that firsthand, where I went to university a few years after working in the bank for 5 years and discovering that wasn't my life goal.
Gotcha.
Was when I went to university and paid for myself and along with some student loans to make it happen. So yeah, very, very interesting. So you can find out more about Robert if you want to find out more about him at his website. And I strongly suggest you go there. It's called thecollegeinvestor.com. And like I say, I just went into that rabbit hole and there was so many neat things to look at that I could go back there every day and I don't think I'd run out of interesting articles to read and that sort of thing. So he is also providing a free Get Out of Student Loan Debt course that you can go and find. It's at thecollegeinvestor.com/VPM for Vibrant Powerful Mom. Thank you for setting that up, Robert.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And so now that actual course is specific in some ways to student loans, right? Like about how you can get forgiveness for loans in different ways in the United States. But
definitely,
it goes way beyond
that. It does. And it starts with just getting organized. So United States, Canada, other forms of debt too, credit cards. I mean, some of the rules are going to be definitely specific to student loans, but the basic principles of getting organized, tackling your debt, it works across more than student loans. And you can definitely use we have a free spreadsheet in there that you can help get organized, because I'm a big believer is organization and just, you know, putting it out there and knowing where you stand is where it starts.
Nice. And you know what? I just have to say to you, the moms that are homeschooling especially, but even if you're not, if you take this course through Robert, you can teach that to your kids. And that is going to give them life skills that will just make such a difference in their whole life. So yeah, wonderful. Robert, thank you so much for sharing your time, your tips, your stories with us here today. I really, really appreciate the wealth of information that you shared with us.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun.
Awesome. So I think we have about 30 seconds left. Do you have a little last minute nugget that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, I just think as we're talking about money and kids and paying for college, remember, if you overextend yourself today, you might end up actually hurting your children in their 30s or 40s. And I don't think a lot of parents realize that. So just keep in mind that, you know, it's a cycle. If you're going to take care of your kids more than you can afford when they're 18, are your kids just going to have to take care of you when you're older and they're getting their young kids in their prime of your life? And maybe you were trying to stop being sandwiched between adults and children, and you might end up making your children sandwiched between you and their children. So, you know, just think about that as you're thinking of these hard conversations. It's the future, it's the present, it's family interactions, it's even the government with student loans, like all these things we don't want to discuss. But I think it's really important we have these conversations and are transparent about our money with our kids.
Awesome. Great tip. Thanks again, Robert. And a big thank you to you, our listeners. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Robert Farrington, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please share it with others to help spread the love. To find out more about Debbie, pick up free offers from the show, and listen to previous episodes, visit vibrantpowerfulmoms.com.